Well, folks, it is a great delight to be down with you today, and I'm really looking forward to March time and trusting that the Lord is going to work here. We'll see people not just in this fellowship, but from this town coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Well, I've mentioned a wee bit about me there this morning. My name is Scott Woodburn, and I'm from East Belfast, and going to school up there in the Big Smoke. I went to Elm Grove Primary School, and then I went up the hill to a place called Grosvenor. It's spelt Grosvenor, but we all just call it Grosvenor, because we're a wee bit common there. I went to Grosvenor, and although it's a wee while ago now, 1997, I left school. I can still remember vividly how I spent my last day in Grosvenor. It was spent outside the headmaster's office down there on the bottom floor. His name was Johnny Lockett. And I, along with the plenty of other guys, were down outside his office for most of that day. What had happened that morning at break time was a food fight had erupted. And in those days, I was a lot bigger than I am now. And I didn't waste food. I ate my food. But nevertheless, a food fight erupted. The sixth form centre went absolutely crazy. The place was covered in yoghurt and food all over the place. And we'd made an absolute disgraceful mess. So the usual suspects were rounded up. I was not part of the initial cull of usual suspects, but the usual suspects were rounded up, and over to Johnny Lockett's office they went. The rest of us just had to sit in the sick form centre, and throughout the course of the day, some new teacher would come in, and they would read out another list of three or four names, and off they would go to Johnny Lockett's office. And eventually, thinking about the fourth swoop of the security forces, they came, and my name was on the list, and off I went, and we stood there for most of the day. Now, I never got to go into Mr. Lockett's office. I never got to state my case, but for most of that day, standing there waiting, I was rehearsing what I was going to say. I was going to tell him straight that whilst I had been involved in difficulties in the past, that day my hands were clean. I was going to make it clear to him that in my lunch there was neither liver nor lentils, and so I was going to eat every inch of it, and I was certainly not throwing it about the place. I was going to stand firm before him and make it clear that in the past, yes, but Mr. Lockett, not today. I am an innocent man. And I never got to do that. It hurt enough from the first batch of guys going in to see him. And what he decided to do was, instead of letting us ramp up the trouble over the next couple of days, he would send us all home early. So that was it. School career over. 2 days early. We didn't get to see the final day of Grosvenor. He sent us home, and that included people that were perfectly innocent, and they were distraught. They loved school and wanted to have their last 2 days, and included boys like me, who went home that day thinking, if it was that easy, I would have had a food fight 5 years ago, if that's all it was going to take. Now, folks, I vividly remember that day, like it was yesterday. I don't remember much from school, but I remember that. And I remember the sense of injustice that was in my heart. I remember the passion that was in my belly, the fire that was within, because I knew that I had nothing to do with the food fight, and I wasn't going to go down for it. And yet today, I don't come to tell you about that day. And in our mission, in a few weeks' time, we will not talk about that day whatsoever, unless I forget I've already told you that story, and you might hear it another two or three times. See, folks, what we are about here as a church, what we are about at our mission, is the final day. The day that we have read about in God's word. The day that we know is coming. The day when Christ will come back and all will stand before him. You see, history is moving towards a conclusion. We don't know when Christ is coming. We don't know how it's all going to unfold. But what we do know is that history will end when Christ returns. And what we do know is that when he comes back, it isn't to change water into wine. It is not to walk on the water. It is not to die on the cross again. He has done that once and for all. But when he returns, it is in power, it is in glory, it is in judgment, and he will sit on the judgment seat, and all will stand before him. My friends, we know today that that is a reality. We know that that day is coming, and we know the dividing line when that day arrives. Jesus makes it clear for us here in this passage in Matthew's Gospel. He tells us that when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him. Then he will sit on his glorious throne, and before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. On the right there will be the sheep, those who have trusted Christ, and on the left will be the goats, or in other words, those who have turned their backs upon him, who perhaps have heard the gospel and rejected it, who have mocked and scorned him. Those on the left will be enemies of Christ, and those on the right will be those who have believed the gospel and are saved. My friends, that will be the dividing line. And I would suggest to you this morning that that indeed is why you're planning to have this mission. Why do we have missions? It isn't just to tell little people little stories, like Enid Blyton maybe once wrote, or it's not to tell people some good advice, you know, look after your kids and eat sensibly. It's not that. We have a mission, and we gather up speakers, and we put on all of these events so that people can hear the gospel, believe the gospel, and be saved. That is why we do it. And why do we want people to be saved? Because we know that history is coming to an end. We know that all will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we know what is going to happen on that great and yet terrible day. There will be the right and there will be the left. There will be heaven and there will be hell. And friends, we know that. You've heard it proclaimed here in Kilkeel for many, many years. Some of you have perhaps sat in the very same spot all of your days, and you remember minister after minister after minister telling you the same glorious story that you must be born again and warning you of what is going to happen if you reject that message. That is why we are coming to March. That is why we are sharing the good news and making all this effort, because we know that all the nations, all the peoples that have ever lived, everyone who has ever set foot in this church and in this town, or ever gone on their holidays to Cranfield, will stand before Jesus on this final day. And friends, my wife is always telling me that I'm so black and white. She says, Scott, not everything in life is as black and white as you make it. The difference comes when I go up the stairs to shout at the girls because it's 8:30 and they're still not sleeping. And I'll go up and I'll read the Riot Act and I'll say, get into bed, or the next time I'm coming up here, I'm going to start wrecking this place. And genuinely, I do talk like that. And Jenny's listening. And I'll come down the stairs and she'll say, I bet you they don't go to sleep. I said, they better, because I'm going up to wreck that place and they'll go to sleep, you mark my words. 20 minutes later, you hear the wee feet again. And this time Jenny goes up, and she takes about 20 minutes. She comes back down the stairs. You don't hear from the girls again. They're fast asleep. And I'll say, well, what did you do? And she said, love, you didn't listen to them. Abby had lost her teddies. Sophie hadn't brushed her teeth. You went in all guns blazing, black and white, shouting the odds, and you hadn't listened to the problems. Not everything's black and white. And then, of course, gentlemen, what do you do when you receive wisdom like that from your wife? You huff for the next 3 hours. Now, folks, when it comes to the intricacies of family life, when it comes to putting your kids to bed, and when it comes to how you treat your mother-in-law over Christmas, and when it comes even as Stephen will tell you, to ministering in a church, maybe sometimes not everything is black and white. There's political things to do, and there's ways to treat people and ways to get round issues. But when it comes to the gospel, and when it comes to this final day, well, my wife on that front is wrong. It is black and white. It is about what we have done with Christ. We have either accepted him as our Savior, or we have rejected him. It is right, or it is left. And as Jesus goes on to tell us here in this passage, he says to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, in verse 34, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He says to those on the right, come and receive. Come and receive what I have prepared for you. Come and claim your inheritance. One of the things I love about Kilkeel, you might be surprised to hear that I love anything about Kilkeel, but I do. I've spoken in this church before, and I've spoken down in Mourne before at their outreach at Christmas. And back in the day when we were cubs, we used to have a caravan that we would borrow in Cranfield, and my dad would walk us into Kilkeel, and he would say, we're getting the bus at the next bus stop, just around the corner. And we never got any bus into Kilkeel, and we were that stupid, but believed him every year. And he would walk us into Kilkeel and walk us back. So I have a lot of Kilkeel memories and have a lot of fondness. But what I love about you here in Kilkeel is that you seem to love this place. I remember talking to some young men at the Mourne Outreach a couple of years ago. And I said to one of them, and he reminded me a bit of myself, I said to one of them, "Where are you from?" And he says, "I'm from the loyal province of the Harbour Road." Now, have you heard that before? I thought, wow, is that somewhere in Kilkeel? Is that the official title? You know? And he went on to explain where he was from and how much he loved it and why he was so proud to be from there. And I love the fact that a great many people, maybe not in Kilkeel, but up in Mourne, a great many people, where do you go for your holidays? Oh, I'll go to Cranfield. Go to Cranfield, just up the road. Get a bit of a break and head 4 miles up the road to the caravan and go to Cranfield. I love that. I love that you men and women seem to love this place just the way I love where I'm from, the glorious East. But folks, if we love this place, imagine what our inheritance is going to be like when we are standing on the right-hand side as men and women who have trusted Christ, as men and women who have served him, as men and women who, when he was hungry, we fed him, men and women who went to see him in prison, men and women who gave him a drink when he was thirsty, or in other words, says Jesus, who served my brothers, men and women who have believed the gospel and lived lives of service. Imagine what that day will be like when Jesus himself says to us, come and receive your inheritance. No longer are we hoping for that caravan in Cranfield or that big house up in East Belfast or maybe a week away from the kids up in the North Coast. No longer are we hoping in any of those things. But if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, well, we can approach this final day with confidence, knowing that on that day, we will stand forgiven, acquitted, and entering into the inheritance that he has prepared for us. Folks, I can't wait. I rejoice at the thought of that. You know, I constantly embarrass my wife and constantly embarrass my children because Sophie was born in East Belfast and Sophie spent the first 2 years of her life there before we moved out to the countryside in Ballinahinch. But whenever we go down home to visit the granny or grandad or whoever it might be, and once we drive into the East, I'll say, girls, we're home. We're home. The glorious East. And they'll say, Daddy, we're from Ballinahinch. And then I'll slap them in the back seat. Don't you dare. But I love it. I drive in and I embrace it and I see the cranes and I have memories and I'll tell them the same old stories that I've told them. See there, that's where Daddy went to school. See there, that's where Uncle Sammy lives. See there. And you just embrace it. But folks, what a day. What a day when we will stand before Christ and Jesus himself will say, this one belongs to me. This one is on the right-hand side. This one is going to the inheritance that I've prepared for him or her. This one from Kilkeel, who spent 78 years of his life serving in that town, teaching Sunday school, sharing the gospel on the highways and the byways. This one who never thought his life amounted to much, he is one of mine and he is going to glory. Folks, when this day comes, if we are in Christ, we have nothing to fear. If we are in Christ, we are going truly to a better place. And I long for the day when the glory of East Belfast just empties into insignificance compared to the glory of heaven, where I will be with my Savior forever. That's the right-hand side. But, says Jesus, to those on the left, to those who have rejected the gospel, to those who have not served Christ, he says in verse 41, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. These men and women have rejected Jesus. They've heard the gospel perhaps and have fingers in the ears. They have sat in churches like this one for generations and haven't believed a word of it. These are men and women who Jesus says sobering words to. Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Friends, this is why in a few weeks' time we are going to have this mission. This is why on days like this we gather up in the church like this one and we proclaim the gospel, because we know that for on the left-hand side there is no inheritance for those men and women. There is no hope on that great and terrible final day. There is no second chance. There is no opportunity like young Scott Woodburn standing outside the headmaster's office to say, "No, Lord, you've got this absolutely wrong. I'm not like the devil and the angels. I was on your side all along. You've got this wrong. I'm not that bad." And we rehearse our arguments, don't we? I meet many people in Eden Grove all the time, and they've heard the gospel. They've heard it preached and preached and preached. And they'll say to me, "I've been going to that church since I was a child. I was in the Sunday school and I grew up in it. And I went to the BB and I did this and this and this." And yet they still reject Christ. And they'll say, "Do you know what, Scott? The big man upstairs is going to look after me. The big man upstairs will see in me that actually I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad." And folks, maybe there'll be some in our mission in a few weeks' time who will come to our meetings believing the lies of the devil, which are exactly that. You're not that bad. Don't be listening to those old preachers who are sharing the good news. You're all right. You don't need Jesus. You're not the worst. And yet on that day, when they stand before Christ, there will be no room for that debate, no room for those arguments. Jesus will divide the right and the left, and those who have rejected him on the left-hand side go to eternal damnation. Folks, let those words sink in, because they are words which we say all too often in the church, but do we let them sink in? See, we like to believe, don't we, that we will never die. We will always be here. And we like to believe, certainly, hopefully, fingers crossed, touch wood, that when this day comes, and we're not sure it will, we think it's maybe the invention of a preacher, but fingers crossed, if this day comes, the preacher's got it wrong, and I've got it right, and God's just going to let us all in. But that's not what Jesus says. That's not the testimony of this passage in Matthew. He will say to those on the left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Friends, do we know the reality of that today? That is what is at stake in a few weeks' time when the mission appears in March. And I challenge you this morning, that is what is at stake this very hour. What if some of you who sit here this morning don't see March? What if some of you who are here this morning don't even see February? Where will you be when the mission is taking place in this church? Will you be in wonderful glory with Jesus? Or will you be in that other place, the place that we don't like to talk about very much, and the place we hope doesn't exist, but the place that Jesus says burns with an eternal fire? Friends, today this is what is at stake. My wife is right half the time when she says I'm so black and white, but you know, in this, actually it is. It's black and white, it's right and it's left. And if you are on the right-hand side, then I rejoice in that. And maybe I am preaching to a whole church this morning who know the Lord Jesus and who have believed the gospel and who are saved. And if that is the case, then thanks be to God for that work that he has done in this church. But if you are on the right-hand side, rejoice. Thank God this morning and work your socks off, knowing that it is not about you. God will build his church, but work your socks off as if you are the only person who has believed it and you want this town to believe it. Pray for this mission. Invite people to this mission. Go and pick them up from wherever they may live. Don't accept any excuse. Bring them here. Because, my friends, if you are on the right-hand side, then you know what is at stake. Do not allow this mission to become something that only the good Christians do in Kilkeel. Rubbish. You be part of it. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, then pray your heart out over this next couple of months for the people around you, for your husband who doesn't accept Christ, for your sister, for your children, for your next door neighbor. Pray your hearts out and put aside those feelings of embarrassment. And I know what we're like. We don't like to force our faith in anybody, but put all that aside and knock on a door over these next weeks and say, "Do you know what, John? I've known you all these years, and I know where you stand with Christ, but I would love you to hear the gospel that says to men, women, and children, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Friends, will you do that? If you're on the right-hand side, would you do that? And folks, this morning, if you're on the left, now don't be waiting to march. Don't be waiting till you see this big, handsome face of mine again. Today is the day of salvation. Today, the gospel is being preached. Today, I declare to you that your sins are as black as coal. Your hearts are in need of salvation. But thanks be to God, because he tells us this morning that if we trust the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, if we turn from them, which we call repentance, and we put our trust, our faith in Jesus, then we will be saved. And those aren't just the empty words of some preacher. That is the word and the testimony of God himself. And so for those of you who this morning know in your bones that you're on the left-hand side when this day comes, today is an opportunity for you to switch sides. Today is an opportunity for you to not any longer go to sleep on the left, but to be on the right because you have accepted the Lord Jesus as your own. Friends, today, if you wanted to talk to me about that, then please do so as you're walking out the door. Challenge me. Say, Scott, would you give me 10 minutes? And I promise you I will, because you must be saved this day. And if you think this is irrelevant, if you think this is just something to give us preachers something to shout about, my friends, you are mistaken. See the gravity of the Lord's words. Ask yourself, am I on the left? And if you are, and call upon Jesus this day and be saved. Folks, that's why in a few weeks we will come here and we will do this mission. That's why you're working hard already to get it prepared. That's why you're praying for it. Because we know what's at stake. These stories that we proclaim from the scriptures are not just stories, not just some imagined words from some author sitting in an office somewhere. This is the word of God, and the word of God tells us that history is moving to a conclusion. And the standard on that day will be what we have done with Christ. And so, friends, I pray indeed that coming up in March, it will be a blessed time for this church. And many will hear the gospel, and many will come to faith. But let me challenge you as we close today. Will you pray for this mission? I've already said to the kids, Don't be thinking that somehow Scott Woodburn's going to come and dazzle people with his eloquence. You know, because I'm from the East and we talk properly up there, but don't dare think it's ever going to be all about me. I hate it when I go to somewhere to speak and someone's introducing you and they'll go, "We're delighted Scott's here tonight because we've had really wonderful speakers over the past lot of months. They've been coming and speaking, and it's great, and we're delighted Scott's here." I'm sitting there thinking, well, I'm glad you got the wonderful ones out of the way, because you've got me tonight, you know. It's not about the speaker. It's not about the quality of the man. Because as I said to the kids, I'm not really up to much. I'm a pain in the neck to live with. My wife would tell you that, in all honesty. But pray that when men like me and Albert Baxter stand up before the people, that the Lord's Spirit would move powerfully. And he would tap people on the shoulder and he would say to them, "Are you listening? Are you listening?" Because it is a work of God that anyone comes to faith. Salvation is all of him. So folks, will you pray for this mission? Will you pray for people around you? Will you pray that the Spirit would blow like a rushing wind through this place? And folks, would you pray as well for your expectations to be firmly fixed on Christ? We had a mission at the end of last year, and we often lost our way. We often got to a place where we were thinking it was all about us. And what if people don't come to faith? What if God doesn't do anything? What if? And it almost became all about us, inward focused. But you know, I want you to know something this morning. If there's not one single person who in the course of your mission comes to faith, the Lord's word does not return to him void. He is at work. Believe that. Keep your eyes on him rather than what you see as human success or human failure. In our mission, we had 3 people who came to faith. But let me tell you the surprising story about it. During the week of our mission, we only found out about them coming to faith. They didn't actually come to faith during the mission. One man, a Roman Catholic chap, had come to faith while reading the Bible. He was reading the Bible at his father's hospital bedside. And the Lord said to him, "You need to believe this." And he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior that very moment. Folks, far away from the mission, in a hospital room, and yet the Lord worked. The Lord worked. And then this other couple who we found out about on the Thursday of the mission, their father came in and he says, my daughter and her husband have come to faith, Scott. And I said, "Brilliant, were they at the meeting last night?" And he says, "Oh no, it was about 2 weeks ago. And they were sitting in church and they knew they needed to trust Jesus as their Savior." Folks, three people came to faith, but not during the mission. But it taught us, I think, as a congregation, that the Lord knows what he's doing, even if we don't. And he is faithful. And when his word goes forward, it will not return to him void. So folks, pray for the people coming to your mission. And pray that the Lord would do his work, even if it doesn't match up to what you want to see and what you are expecting. And folks, pray with all your hearts that today, tomorrow, and in the weeks to come, we will see people moving from the left to the right. Because we know what's at stake. Folks, have you ever had conversations where you've went home and you've thought, what was I talking about there? Often I'll go into church on a Sunday morning and there's a wee group, we call them the grumpy old men. And I call them that to their face. I'm not talking behind their backs. But you come in, they're sitting in the front door, and one of them knows everybody. He's been Ballon Hinch all his life. And you'll walk in, they'll say, "Hi, John, what are you doing here today? You weren't here last week." And I'll say to him, shoo, we're glad he's here. Keep you quiet." Or somebody else will come in, "Here's the Man United fan coming now. He's lost yesterday." And often we have conversations about our nonsense like that. Our rubbish that doesn't even matter. And then I'll read a passage like this. And I'll realize why I get out of bed in the morning. I realize why it is that I climb into gorgeous pulpits like this one to challenge people like you and to share it every single day. I realize what's at stake. And so folks, I urge you in the days to come in this wonderful place that you call home, be men and women who don't wait for the mission to come. But be men and women who tomorrow, when you go to Country Fried Chicken and you're telling them about a boy from the East who likes KFC and not CFC, remember to tell them as well about your faith in Jesus. And see, when you're getting your hair cut and the wee girl that's cutting your hair struggling to find it up there, don't just talk about the weller. Don't just talk about the grandchildren. Remember what's at stake. Share with her the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, even when you go home today, and I know the heartache of this because we have families like this in our church, but see, when you go home today and your husband or your wife doesn't look near you because they don't really care what went on in this church, and you know that he turns away from you when you start telling him about your faith, pray on the way home for the courage to go back to that home and that man or woman that you love, and share with them once again the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, folks, we know what's at stake. And that final day, it is the left or it is the right. It is heaven or it is hell. It is Jesus or it is not. So, friends, I look forward to March. I really do, but don't wait till then. May the gospel resound in this place and on the streets of this town from now until then. Because we are men and women who love the Lord Jesus and who are looking forward to receiving the inheritance that he has prepared for us. Folks, I will pray, as I have been, for your mission. Pray your hearts out as well. And I pray indeed that the Lord is going to build his church in Kilkeel in 2015. Amen.